way back in Bible school, we had a teacher, and his name was Chaco. We used to call him Taco, but anyway, I used to quote the scripture to him because his wife's name was Mercy, and his sister-in-law who traveled with him was Grace. And I said, "And Mercy and Grace follow you all the days of your life. When you turn around, you'll see God's mercy. When you look ahead, you'll see his grace. It's his grace that takes us forward." Isn't that wonderful? When we pray this morning, we're going to pray for Marcella. I got a call at 7 o'clock this morning from Harvey, who said that she fell and he couldn't pick her up. So she's in the ER at North Memorial. I assume they're still there the way things go. So please continue to keep her in prayer for whatever is, I know the prednisone is not helping, whatever is causing her legs to collapse, that God would heal her, that God would touch her, and that God would encourage them both. As you know, it's hard to watch it, it's hard to be it, and all of that. Pray for them. Pray for Darlene. She's not here this morning because she's got a bad flu. She called this morning for prayer. And Kathleen called me this morning for prayer because she was having a terrible time. She also was asking, well, she wanted to thank everybody for the prayers and the food and everything that everybody's doing. And I know Judy goes over and takes care of things for her. And she's so appreciative. What she did ask was, she was expecting her best friend to be at the hospital when she has surgery on the 17th. Apparently her friend has to be out of town. And it is a distress to her to be there and not have somebody with her. She expects it's a 7:30 surgery. It's supposed to take about 3 hours. If anybody feels on the 17th, which is a Wednesday, that you could be there with her, please let me know so I can inform her. That was her request this morning. She knows the body of Christ is with her, and that's important, isn't it? So let's pray this morning. Our Father, we thank you. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Lord God, I know the enemy thinks he's trailing us. He tries to trip us up, but the truth is, Lord, you're behind and you're before us. You camp round about us, and we want to see you. Not what anyone else is doing. We want to see the hand of the Lord. And we ask this morning, Lord, for Marcella. Lord God, in the weakness of her legs and of her system, we pray, Lord, that you would be the strength of her body and of her spirit and of every part of her. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to reverse whatever is caused by the medicine, Lord, and that you would do a sovereign healing in her body. We ask you, Lord, to pour out your Holy Spirit upon Sheen, upon Harvey. Lord, encourage them, Lord, in this difficult patch of journey. Lord God, we pray you'd give wisdom to those that are attending to her and give them your insight, Lord, into what is best for your darling daughter. Lord Jesus, we pray the same, of course, for Kathleen, for Dory, Lord, for Wendy, Lord, for all of the needs that continue to baffle man. Lord, they are not a surprise to you. So may we tap into the power of God, into the wisdom of God, into your full freedom, Lord God, for those who call you by their names and by their lives. Father, we pray for Darlene today that you'd raise her up out of the bed of affliction, and for those that are here that just are a little under, we pray that you take them over. We pray that you'd lift them up for Sylvia and for others. Lord, I pray that gentle touch of the Master to minister. We thank you, Lord. You didn't have to do more than you created us, but you chose to. And we thank you, Father, for that. And we pray on this Communion Sunday that you would commune with us, Lord, as friend to friend. As we put our eyes and our focus on you, we thank you for your grace, which is everlasting. Lift up your house to glorify your name. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Want to thank all the workers that came yesterday to help to clean and to prepare the house of God. I guess there were 11 lovely people. And so Jan had a good crew to help and to supervise. Linda Roberts has an announcement.
Silver or gold, I'd rather.
Heavenly Father, I thank you the word wonderful. And there's a lot of words in there. We're full of the glory of the Lord. There's the wonder of it all. And then the fact that you won the victory for us. Father, we thank you today that we're not worshiping a God that failed. We're worshiping the God that is over all, that won the victory. And it is complete. It's not going to be recounted. It's not up for debate. It has been won. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for that. In our hearts and our spirits today, be an alarm clock that says, you're on the winning side. He has won the victory. He is wonderful. Lord, take us deeper into your word, into your heart, into your wisdom, because our words and our thoughts are not enough to make up for all that which comes at us in this world. But you already blazed the trail, so we can put our trust in you. And we thank you, Lord, for it. Bless your holy word, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We just went through Clergy Appreciation Month in October. And something's been on my mind for a while. So I thought I would ask a question, and that's the title of the message, before we read the portion of Scripture. What is a shepherd? Everybody has a different idea, I imagine. Or a different take on it. I'm always particularly interested in what God thinks, but I'm also interested in what you might think here. So I'm going to ask for a few seconds here. What's important to you in a shepherd? The Bible image of the shepherd is the picture of the pastor. Okay. That's the term he used. That's the idea he used. In a second, I'll get your responses. The Lord didn't say a pastor was going to be a farmer. The farmer is basically the house of God, everybody that's participating. The shepherd is a different place, a different point. Sandy, I think your hand was up. What would you say?
Well, the Bible says that a shepherd is someone who lays down his life for the sheep.
Yep. So if Dennis or I are not here on a Sunday, you might wonder what happened. But yes, but you're right. Sacrificing. What else?
Protector.
What else?
Feeds.
Cares for the lost one.
Cares for the lost.
Loving.
Pardon me?
Loving.
Gentle. Watches over the flock. What else? Cares for them. Yes.
Leads the flock.
A
pastor is all those things.
Mm-hmm. Supposed to be. Yep. And anything important to you in particular as a member of a congregation? What's important?
He laid down his life for you.
Mm-hmm.
He already did.
Yep. Patrick?
A shepherd's
a guide. A guide, yep.
There's a leader.
He's always there when you need him.
Lovely distinction. That's right.
This might be in the cares, but he's a healer where he anoints the wounds and you know, fix the
Yep. Mm-hmm. Carries them, helps to heal them. They're broken. Alert to the needs. Yeah, you don't want, really want to read it on the newsletter. You like to know about it. Okay. Well, I'm going to stop there because that's as many dashes as I put. But there's actually more than that. But you know, it occurred to me when I was thinking about the shepherd, the pastor, and the qualifications for such, which, by the way, are not earthly. They are heavenly, just so you know. You know, there's only two qualifications to be the president of the United States. You have to be born here, and you have to be at least 35 years old. Other than that, there's no other qualifications. I find that interesting. To lead the free world, you only have to fit into two spots. And I haven't done the percents, but I'm guessing that a good portion of the people in the United States, at least legals, would be in that category. So I guess we're all up for that honored place. Does it surprise you that the Lord would have more qualifications to lead his people? It doesn't surprise me. Not at all. So the shepherd is one of the oldest occupations in the Bible. First one was Abel. Remember him? He was a shepherd. Usually it's the youngest person in the family that takes care of the sheep, but in this case, it was Abel. And his brother didn't care much for him. Can't hear. Okay. That's another thing about being a speaker, is you want people to hear you. It's not like in the old days when they used to preach and 10,000 could hear them out on the prairie. You know, they didn't need a microphone. But anyway, shepherding has been a very important part of the scripture from the Old Testament all the way into the New. Is it a surprise to you that the shepherds were at the incarnation, that God gave them a ringside seat of the birth of Jesus Christ? I think that's fabulous. You know why? Because they were out watching, they were out doing, they were working and taking care of the sheep, and God knew those were the people that he wanted to be there for that holy moment. So I'm going to ask you to turn to Ezekiel, 34th chapter. Normally, I would like to present the word in a positive sense and say what it is as opposed to what it isn't. But this is a very strong indictment from God against the shepherds, the leaders of the Old Testament in the time of Israel. And I think that primarily in life, we learn more from what we shouldn't have done than what we should do. You think that's true? No. A little child doesn't have to be taught how to do something wrong. They instinctively know how to find the wrong thing. The word of the Lord, this is the first verse, first six verses. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe, woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. That's the same wording, by the way, in there as Pharaoh was, the way he treated the Israelites. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth. And no one searched or looked for them. To me, one of the saddest things in life is when nobody knows you're lost. Nobody knows you're in pain. Nobody knows, and there are people, frankly, who don't care. And there are people in the pulpit who do not care. And you've probably met some of them. To me, it's a holy place. It's a very holy place. And it is not made by man, so it cannot be distributed by man. It has to be by the Spirit of God. There are three basic movements for a shepherd. First, in the morning, this is the first watch. They take them out of the sheepfold, and they take them to where they need to be fed. A shepherd will lead them forth to find a safe place to eat. Now, to do that, you have to take the sheep out of the comfort and the surroundings that they're used to. But you can't feed them within the sheepfold. They have to be brought out. So the shepherd leads them so they feel safe. And as Sandy pointed out, a shepherd does not drive them. A shepherd leads them. I read something years ago. It was talking about the difference between a cowboy and a shepherd. You know cowboys? You see them in every Western. They're in every movie. And they're driving those flocks and they're taking them up. And they make sure they got their eye on everything. But you know why? Because at the end, there's dollars. They're bringing them in so that there is a roundup so that they get paid for their journey. Their very purpose in watching and taking care of them is for themselves. That's why. And there is a distinct difference and an importance in the motive in which anybody is operating. God takes very careful in his word to make sure that people are doing it for the right reasons. There's a lot of ministers, and I've met a number of them, who I know. I've had them tell me, I'm just doing it for the money. Well, unless you're on television, you're probably not getting a whole lot, but maybe it's more than you get somewhere else. In fact, I remember watching a TV report on an evangelist, some of you may know and may not. But I remember having watched him occasionally, and he'd be praying over the airways for people and said, send in your requests, and we're going to pray for you. And when the authorities, on whatever means, however they got a hold of this guy, they went to the garbage can, the big dumpster, and all the prayer requests were in there. But the donations were not. They took the money out. Didn't pray for him, like they promised. I doubt they were praying as they were reaching in for the money. I doubt it. God takes this very seriously, folks. If you think it's important to you who rules or who guides over you, that is just a small amount of what God thinks about it. And you know why? Because that's how much he loves the sheep. It's how much he loves his church. A shepherd does not drive, does not push, is not in it for themselves. They're not supposed to be anyway. And truthfully, a shepherd goes ahead of the flock anyway. They're like a point man in a military operation to go ahead and make sure the way is clear. A true shepherd is praying ahead of the service. I had somebody tell me a number of years ago when I asked about something being done in a service. This is a number of years ago. Doesn't matter, he said. Whatever happens. Didn't care. Did not care. Not one bit. And I said, a shepherd is supposed to care. You're supposed to pray ahead of time. You're supposed to be on your face before the Lord praying for the folks, and I mean by name because a shepherd knows the names, knows the details, cares about people. You're not just a herd that we're trying to lead so we get on the front page of the newspaper. That's the wrong attitude totally. That's not God's way. That's not God's shepherd. So In order to bring them to a place of feeding, you have to bring them out of the place where they're more comfortable. Do you know to grow in the Lord, you have to stretch a bit? You got to go a few places that you maybe don't care for? Because the shepherd has to take you and find the stream or find the watering hole, wherever it is, and make sure that there's adequate food and drink. And I'm glad that God has that in the heart of a shepherd. And for all the bad ones we hear about, there's a lot of wonderful ones who very genuinely love the flock. So that's the first watch, is when they bring them out and lead them. The second watch is the day watch, when they watch as they're feeding, as they're grazing. They're watching them to make sure that nobody strays and that everybody is safe. Now, if you're like me, you go in a store and somebody's watching you, and they're saying, "Do you want this?" "No, if I want it, I'll come and tell you." So you try to watch so nobody knows you're watching. But be sure that if God has placed a shepherd over you, and it's a true shepherd, you are in their heart. Absolutely. Because if you're not in their heart, they're not a shepherd. A true shepherd will watch. And they don't count so that they can say, "Oh, look at how many are in my flock." The counting is done to make sure nobody is missing, to make sure everybody is safe. That's why. That's why God gets upset when people count and count and count like it's some effort of theirs. The numbers don't matter in terms of how many are coming or going. What matters is the heart of the individual. What matters is that you are valued by God. And you need to know that. I know one thing in this church, from being here as long as I have, is that you all matter. When somebody's ill, when something's going on, or even if it's a good thing, you can see it on the faces of the people. That's not something that you can find in a book. That's not something that comes along with membership. That comes with being a heart of a Christian. And that's very operational in this church. A shepherd will know and feel the pain of somebody that's lost their way. I heard on the news, this gentleman, his name was Matt Hughes. I've never seen this show, or at least the one he was on, but he was a meteorologist, and he was one of those storm chasers, you know, the people that follow and run after tornadoes. And they're doing it so that they can learn data, so they can help in future, so people have more time to get away from them. The purpose is to help people. This gentleman's about 30 years old, and he was a storm chaser. And I don't know what was happening in his life, but I know this. On May 26th of 2010, he couldn't outrun the storm that was chasing him. And he killed himself. He killed himself. Because whatever it was in his life seemed so big, he couldn't see outside of it. Let me tell you, without knowing his name, without knowing his family, without knowing any of that, that would break the heart of a shepherd. Okay. That's the second watch. The night watch is when you bring them home. You bring them back to the sheepfold. And again, there's another counting, because you want to make sure that everyone that left is going to be there when night falls. And so as they go under the doorpost, they are counted by name. And the shepherd will know the name and get it right. Not like in the house I grew up in. My mom would say every name, and I knew she'd do it because she figured she'd hit somebody eventually. To me, she'd always say, "Which one are you?" So I grew up knowing that she wasn't quite sure. But that's okay. God knows who I am. A good shepherd knows the names, knows the people. And then on top of it, they become a porter. They become the door. They become the doorway, because the shepherd will lay on the ground right in the doorway. in case a sheep tries to leave or gets disoriented or a wolf tries to come in. They are the first line of defense for the church, for the sheepfold. Think about the difficulties in your life, then magnify them in the spirit, and you have a shepherd who's feeling your pain sometimes before you feel it. And the reason that you feel the pain worse than you'd like to feel the good things is because negative pulls down. It seems to be stronger. You just feel it different. But at night, the shepherd will make sure everybody is in here. And when somebody's not here, they notice. They're not noticing because they want, you know, say, well, I want a million people here. I want who God wants here, personally. But if someone's not here, specifically if I don't know why, then I get nervous and I pray and I call and I bother people. Ultimately, the shepherd leads them into the night watch. The greatest blessing and ministry in pastoral work really is being able to be at the bedside, ushering somebody into the presence of God. There is no greater, other than your own salvation, to know somebody is safely home. That is truth. Now, that's the three basic movements of the shepherd. Now, we're going to have the five knots, or it's actually seven. Seven knots of a shepherd. In Ezekiel, it's talking about the things the shepherd did not do. Did you know God can count? Day one, day two. He knows how to count. Okay. I have a little rope here as a little illustration. And each knot is going to be a knot. Okay? Hopefully it stays together. The first one, the Bible said, woe to you because you have not fed the sheep. That is the primary purpose of the shepherd, is to feed the sheep, make sure they're fed and they're taken care of. It's not to entertain people. It's not to glorify yourself. It's to feed. Make sure people are taken care of. These people didn't do that. What they did is they fed themselves. And they benefited totally by that. Like that evangelist I was talking about that took all the money and didn't pray for people. I got news for you. God saw in that dumpster. And God will hold that minister accountable. Not only for not praying, but for saying he was going to pray. God knows what comes out of your mouth and what you intend to do. Never say it if you're not going to do it. First knot. You did not take care of my sheep. You did not feed them. You know what happens when you don't get fed? You get weak. Don't you? He said, not only that, but you clothed yourself in their wool. And you picked out the choicest ones and you used them for yourself. You know, when the Bible talked about the synagogue and the way that the tithe was set up, the tithe was set up because there were 10 in a synagogue. And each was to give a tenth so that the priest could survive. So that meant that priest would get 100% of those offerings. And they would be the median amount of income that was around that circle. The shepherd should not live extraordinarily below, generally, although a lot do. But especially, they should not live extraordinarily high. Should be the general average amongst the people. These shepherds, they weren't in it to take care of the people. They were in it to take care of themselves. God has a very strong opinion on that. Because the calling should be to the flock, not to your own benefit. He said, you did not take care. You did not feed them. You did not strengthen the weak. And let me tell you, There isn't a cult alive that won't ignore the weak people. You will not have a weak person who is infirm of any difficulty in a cult because they want strong people. They can maneuver. They don't want anybody that has a problem. Who did Adolf Hitler get rid of beside the Jews? A lot of people that had infirmities, had problems. And believe me, he added to the problems. The Bible said you did not strengthen the weak. You didn't heal the sick. They're your lambs. They're your sheep. Why aren't you taking care of them? That's your job. That's your calling. Then it said, you didn't bring back the strays. This is talking about people that were in the sheepfold that left. We call them backsliders, or people just straying away for whatever reason in their life. Supposed to go look for people. Do you remember how much manpower was used to try to find Jacob Wetterling? They're still trying to. Is it worth it if you're Patty Wetterling? You bet. No price is too high to retrieve a soul. Then he says you didn't search for the lost. Now this is talking about people that get separated. This is also talking about people that were in the fold that got separated and got disoriented. This is not talking about evangelism. Okay? Let me tell you that the pastoral role primarily is to take care of the sheepfold as it is. Sheep bring in sheep. That's what evangelism is, to win the lost in that respect. Now, where the pastor or a teacher or whomever is supposed to operate in evangelism, it's because we're a Christian and we're supposed to reach whoever we can reach and train people how to talk to people. I've done that for years. I love doing that. It's nothing more wonderful than winning someone to Christ than watching somebody do it as well. It's wonderful to see that life multiply. But that's not specifically what it's talking about here, and it's not the pastoral role as a whole. Okay? It is to search for those who, for whatever reason, have gotten separated and are terrified out there. You ever been lost in the woods? You ever got disoriented and you couldn't find your way? It's frightening, isn't it? It's terrifying. Imagine how they're feeling. The Bible says, not only that, but you didn't visit them. You didn't even bother to go see them. See how they're doing. When I had a church years ago, I had a lady that was in the Bible study with us, and she came for a while, and then she'd come on and off, but she's a great lady. She was dying of cancer. It was horrible. Got into the bone. Her name was Lil. I love Lils. And the pastor of the church she was attending was going to come and pray for her and minister to her. He couldn't find her house, so he quit looking. She was a member of the church. She'd been a Christian at that point for about 30 years. She had served. She had gone out witnessing and visiting herself. And when it came time for her to be ministered to, wasn't there. Couldn't take the time to find her house, which was on the map because I'd been there. I used to live there for a while. Broke my heart that when she needed somebody, he wasn't there for her. So I went, which was my privilege to do so. But still broke my heart that he didn't take the time to find her. You know what search means? It means to search until you find him. That's what it means. You don't give up till you find him. We'll always be looking for those that have slipped away. Now, if we find out that they're somewhere else and they're safe and they're growing in Christ, that's great. But we want to make sure at least that they know they're missed and that they're loved. The Bible says here that they ruled harshly. And the word really means to dominate. Did you know you can tell when somebody is a shepherd? And you can tell when they're not. A shepherd will lift you up. Somebody else will tear you down to try to keep you under their control. They'll dominate you. They'll try to make you feel guilty. They'll try to make you feel something. They'll work on your emotions. Be careful of anybody, and I don't care who it is, that tries to get you to do something, draw you to do something, whether it's a person on the phone or whatever, out of emotion. That's why people give away their life savings, because somebody tries to make them feel guilty. Be led by the great shepherd. God said here, the sheep wandered. They had no one to search or seek for them, and they were scattered. And nobody checked, and nobody searched for them, and nobody asked for them by name. Aren't you glad God knows your name? Aren't you glad he knows your life? We don't need to give it to him. He already knows it. That's the heart of a shepherd. My sheep know me, and they call me by name, and I know them. Now, my knots here, I've got 5. I actually need 7. So I'm going to catch up. When you do not do what God has called you to do, I'm not saying the things that we plan, they can be adjusted. But when God calls you to do something and you don't do it, what you end up with really is a rope. And it would be better in a different type maybe, but you end up not being able to help people. You cannot reach somebody when you're all knotted up. How are you going to help anybody? How are you going to reach people out in the crevice where they are, or in the middle of some ravine? How are you going to get them when it's all knotted up? You're not. God has something to say about that. What does God say? In the first couple verses here, he says, the word of the Lord came to me. This is Ezekiel talking. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. And the sovereign Lord here it's talking about is Adonai Yahweh. It is the personal name of God, but the first name is the Lord and the Master, God himself, saying, I am your personal God, but I'm leading you, I'm guiding you, and I'm telling you, these shepherds are not shepherds at all. Woe to the shepherds who only take care of themselves. He goes on to say, a little bit later, in the 10th verse, this is what the sovereign Lord says, I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. You know, we all keep records of different things. Do you know that God is going to keep accountable every pastor for every church they ever worked in and how they treated the flock? God doesn't keep a record because he's mean-spirited. He keeps it because he said he was going to, because it's important that they know they didn't just mishandle people. They mishandled the gift of God, which was being a shepherd. I will rescue them. He said, I'm going to remove those shepherds from tending the flock so they can no longer feed themselves. I believe we'll be seeing a day when some of the big ministries that have fed off of people, some are very legitimate and they really love God and God has blessed them. I don't mean that. But there are those that are simply out there to feed off of people. God will judge them because they've done it out in the open. God will judge them out in the open. I hate to say it, but that's true. You're God's people. You're not up for somebody's pleasure. You should not be mishandled or mistreated. Your needs should not be ignored. The Church of Jesus Christ is a safe place. It's supposed to be. It's a sheepfold. So he said, woe, because I will deal with him. One of the things that bothers me the most is that to the shepherds of that day and some of this day, the people were a prey to them, P-R-E-Y. You know what a prey is? It means someone's coming after you with the intent to hurt you, not to help you. They have preying on their mind, not praying, P-R-A-Y-I-N-G. They preyed on the sheep instead of praying for them, and God will deal with them. Now, you know there's nobody perfect. And any shepherd, any pastor in any pulpit is going to have strengths and weaknesses. Some are better orators. They can make you believe you're sitting in the middle of a great meadow somewhere. You can almost hear the crackling of what they're talking about. Some are wonderful counselors. Some have vision, great visionaries. Some just love people. But that's different than somebody purposely up there to mishandle the sheep. And you've had a number of pastors through the years. It's important that God has who he wants in any pulpit. It doesn't matter where it is. Okay? You want who God wants. So do I. We want the will of God. Now, Dave and his loveliness is going to put a picture up here. This is a picture drawn by a lady named Catherine Brown. I have this picture somewhere at home and I couldn't find it, so we had to find it elsewhere. But it's a beautiful, tender picture of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, holding a little lamb. Can you see how precious you are to Jesus in that picture? Can you see how tenderly you are held? You're not mishandled. You're held near the heart. Not only near the heart, but you can hear his heart if you're listening. You can hear the heartbeat of the shepherd for you. The reason I wanted that put up there is because we're going to have communion. Pastor Dennis is going to come up and officiate for communion. Why? Because the shepherd became the lamb to die for us. That's the heart of a shepherd.
For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you drink Eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to celebrate communion, to celebrate your sacrifice on the cross for us. And we ask your blessing on this, Lord, that we would see your love and your compassion and your mercy and grace in this. We pray this in the name of Jesus. You who are walking in fellowship with God and are in love and charity with your neighbors, and you who do truly and earnestly repent of your sin and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and meekly make your humble confession to Almighty God. If the ushers will come forward.
I do want to say this, though, before we sing the closing hymn. Pastors are people. Nobody's perfect. You all know that. And if you have ever been, and I'm talking about if, because I know people that don't go to church because of a specific minister. You know, we come for Jesus. That's why we come. And if you've been wounded by a pastor, could be years ago, could be currently. If that's the case, we certainly don't want to hurt anybody. Now, sometimes things come forward that wound, but they're also supposed to heal. So, but if you've ever been hurt, and I mean where it's really wounded your soul, just let me know, because we'll be praying for you. And if I've ever wounded anybody, and I'm sure Pastor Dennis would say the same, we do not want to, we want to be a part of a blessing, not a part of anything else. So let's sing this wonderful song. We're living for Jesus. Okay, that's who's our Savior.
Thank you.
Amen. We give our life to him because he gave his for us. I'm going to ask Marianne to come up and close in prayer, if I may.
Let's pray. Father, we are just so grateful for who you are this day. We're so grateful, Lord, and so thankful that you are our shepherd. And we're so thankful, Lord, that you have provided us with a shepherd in this church at this time. Oh, Lord, you are so mighty and so awesome. Oh, Adonai, we cannot comprehend the great love that you have for us. Oh, but we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Bless each and every person now, Lord, as they go out of this church. Help them to see the world with your eyes, O Lord. And help them, all of us, to be your hands and feet and voice. And Lord, may we love the lost. Lord, may we love that difficult neighbor or that person that really bugs us, Lord. May we love them by the power of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, grant us this, Lord. We want to be your people. You have called us, Lord. You chose us to be yours. You chose us to bring forth fruit. And Lord, this is what we desire. Bless each person, and we will bless you in turn. In Jesus' name, amen.